What's up, you guys? This is Andrea, your host with From Mrs. to Ms. I am back alone today. I am doing this solo today. And it's actually, I'm just recording this on Valentine's Day, you guys. So I'm a little behind this week. I was actually away on a cruise, so I'm playing some catch up, but I don't have a date. So I just thought, you know what? I have been having questions pouring in from a lot of the listeners that have been asking a lot of different things about the podcast, about relationships, about me. You know, so I thought, why not just hop on here tonight and do a little episode about all of that? How's that sound? So yeah, kind of bear with me. It's been a while since I've done like a single solo episode. I've usually had, you know, either a guest or a special guest co-host or something with me. And so it's just going to kind of be me and you today. And I'm just going to answer up these questions the best of my ability. And I'm going to be honest and truthful. And if you guys have any feedback or anything you want to ask later or in response to my responses, you are welcome to email me at info@frommrs2ms.net, or you can find me on Instagram at from.mrs.2ms, and you can DM me in there and ask me anything you want as well. I'm always promising to be as truthful as I can, and I'll try to answer your questions to the best of my ability. With that being said, let's get started. Okay, so I have a bunch of questions here that I've written down. I'm going to let you know who asked the questions. Obviously, I'm not going to give their full name, but I'll let you know where they live. And then I'm going to answer them and tell you guys what's going down. Okay, so my first question is from Kelly C. in Washington, D.C., and she asked, what inspired you to start a podcast, and especially one that was focused on relationships? So that's an awesome question. I wanted to start out with that, because for those of you who maybe haven't been following from the beginning or you missed it at some point, here's my story on that. So I was married for 20 years. I just fell out of love with my husband. Great guy, did nothing wrong. We're still great friends. Everything is good. I just felt it was no longer serving me and I needed to get out and start my life on my own with, you know, my own desires and to find what I really wanted and needed in my life. So I did that. But I came out and I hit these dating sites. I mean, I was married for 20 years, like I said. So I was not on any of these dating sites prior to getting married or dating him. I was doing regular normal dating, and then we got married, and then I had my kids. So I have been in this life for quite a while. So coming out of that has been insane because it's so different. It's like nobody really meets organically nowadays, especially after COVID. We all know that. So we're kind of doing our own thing. We're flying by the seat of the pants. We're talking to people online on multiple different sites. Everybody's talking to multiple people. I'm going out on dates and I don't know what I'm doing. I mean, that's the episodes. You know, if you go back and listen to my episodes, the T-Rex one, the first guy that I went out with, didn't know what I was doing, getting in the car with the wrong guy, all that good stuff. I had a guy call me by the wrong name. I had the dick slapped episode, the guy that was hitting me in the face with his dick over and over. I mean, there was a lot of crazy stuff. And so I started telling all my friends about these stories and they were just laughing hysterically. And they're like, Andrea, you need to get these stories out there for other people to hear. You need to maybe write a book or something. And I thought, you know, a book just isn't going to really do it justice, in my opinion. Like, I really think I need to maybe do a podcast so I can kind of tell the story. You can hear the cadence in my voice. You can hear, you know, the funniness and when I'm upset or, you know, things that you can't necessarily read from a book. So I thought, why not do a podcast? So I had no idea how to even start that. I found an internship online that was looking for a podcast host to come on and talk about relationships. So I did. I applied for that. And it was so interesting because my first interview with them, it was, you know, pretty easy. She just kind of asked me a lot about myself, why I thought I would be good to do the podcast, how I got started, all of this stuff. And then I went into telling her all about what I was about. And for those of you who listen to my podcast, I mean, I say exactly what I'm thinking. I don't really care to, you know, if I'm talking about sex or a penis or a blowjob or whatever it might be. It doesn't faze me at all. So I'll just talk about it. And so she kind of said to me, so I'm sure, you know, with your podcast being about relationships, you're obviously going to be talking about sex. And I said, yes, I am. And she said, Okay, well, just so you know, this podcast is a little bit more PG. It was a network, GSMC Podcast Network. So they have multiple podcasts on there, over, 200,000 downloads a month. It's crazy. And so she said that it's a little bit more PG. And so she basically said, so you can say cock, but you can't say dick. And I'm like, wait, what? I can say cock, which sounds way more pornish to me than dick does. Okay, and so I started thinking about my stories. Of course, I had the guy who told me to eat a bag of dicks. So now I'm like, eat a bag of cocks. Does that sound as good? I don't know that it does. I'm like, where do I get a hard bag of cocks? That's interesting. So it just kind of threw it off. It was real weird. And then come to find out later that she actually ran the Bible podcast. So it all made sense. But I mean, I don't really know why she was okay with me saying cock, but I did. I changed it up. So, anyways, I started doing these podcasts through the internship. But what I found was that I was now recording the podcast, which they had to be 60 minutes full in length. I could not have a guest, no host, no co-host with me, nothing. None of these questions like this. Like, she wanted to see what I could do, and she actually wanted it twice a week. And I was like, lady, I have a real job. Like, I cannot do two 60-minute episodes full on 60 minutes a week, and I don't have enough material. I mean, I went on a lot of dates, but come on, let's be real. So we agreed and settled on one a week. So I started doing these podcasts, and you can hear them. They're out there. They're out there on YouTube and Spotify probably, or any of the streaming platforms. And so there's a lot of episodes out there from the plain old Mrs. to Ms. And I told all these stories. And then what I found is I was just sending them to her. She was supposed to be reviewing and giving me feedback, and you know what they do, like in an internship, but she wasn't. She just kind of took them and uploaded them. And that was it. And so it kind of dawned on me after like three of them. I'm like, wait a second, I'm just working for free for these people, is all I'm doing. They're not even giving me any advice. So I took it away. I took it myself and I went over to Buzzsprout, which is who I use now as my major platform. And I just started uploading my episodes on there, and they were doing great. And then I got burned out because I was doing it by myself. So it's not my favorite to do it by myself. I don't mind doing it like this every once in a while, but I really enjoy having a co-host, someone to laugh with and banter with and bounce things off of. And then it's always great to have guests. So I'm super excited that I get to do that now. And I'm kind of doing my own thing and beating to my own drum, if you will. So from there, basically, I just decided to, kind of revamp it. And that's when I came back and I started doing From Mrs. to Ms. And so that was exciting. And it was kind of the same, topics, the relationship. And I have just really felt, for me, it's been a struggle with the whole dating process out there and the online dating sites. And, I've just been through a lot of stuff. And so I just wanted to share. I really just wanted to share some of my stories and things I've gone through. And whatever I learn, I want to teach other people so they can learn from it. I'm not an expert. I don't really sit on here and try to pretend like I am. And so I'm just speaking my own truth and things that I'd want you guys to know about, I'd want to know about if it was me. So you're always welcome to share with me, just like I'm sharing with you. So that's how the podcast got started. That's how From Mrs. to Ms. was born. Okay, number two. This question comes from Debbie L. in Torrance, California. So she asked, can you share a memorable story or a guest interview that had a significant impact on your perspective on relationships? So that's a really great question, Debbie L. And I like it because I have a lot of responses to it because I think I've had a lot of really great guests. As you know, we had Jeanette Cota on here that she's from Dance Moms, and she talked about the passing of her son for fentanyl poisoning. So that was really a very tough episode to hear. We also had Katie LeBlanc on, and she also talked about the passing of her son as well. And so those were really super touching and tough to hear. And those dealt with relationships in a little bit different way, obviously, family relationships. But if I was going towards more of the dating relationships or single, whatever you want to call it, relationships, I'd probably have to say one of my favorite guests was Josh Carmichael. And I would say that because I loved having a guy on here. I thought it was great because what happened is that kind of thought about everything ahead of time of the way I think that guys think or the way I think guys respond to things. And then it was interesting to ask him the very same questions back. And then he gave his response, which was way different than what I even thought. And so I loved that kind of hearing from a guy's perspective. When I'm sitting here thinking that, you break up with a guy and he's just out with the next girl the next day, I mean, that does happen for sure. But he kind of did say, that most guys aren't. They do kind of take the time to heal and they're missing you just as much as you're missing them. So I think just things like that was really nice to hear. And so there was a two-part episode for him. If you haven't listened, you should go back and check that out with Josh Carmichael. Those are really great. So great question. Question number three comes from Sarah S. in Encino, California. And she asked, what do you believe are the most common challenges people face in relationships today? That's for me, it's temptation is what I think is one of the biggest issues of today. And I think that the dating sites have highly contributed to that. I've said this before. I think that you are on a dating site and you have the opportunity to be talking to multiple people. There's nothing wrong with that, but I think it gets a little hairy when you are talking to one person and yes, you may be interested in that person and things are going well, but then somebody else, beeps through and now you check them out and oh, they're just a little bit better. So now I'm going to go talk to that one. And so I just think those opportunities would be very rare in real life for you to meet five, great looking guys or women in the same day. And so I think this just adds to the temptation that we really don't need in our world today because I think everybody is so caught up in the hustle and the bustle out there and their own lives. And everybody is, very selfish right now and working on everything for themselves. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but it leaves very little time for real dating and to meet real honest people that want a true relationship and that are happy to find somebody and be content with that instead of looking for the next one all the time. So I think temptation would be my answer to that. Okay, question number four comes from Barbara F. in Palm Springs, California. And she asked, how do you approach discussing sensitive topics or taboo subjects related to relationships on your podcast? And I'm thinking, girl, have you listened to my podcast? I have zero sensitivity. There's really no taboo. I mean, if you go on YouTube, there is a pretty good episode that was very unfiltered with my co-host Michelle, where we got down and dirty and we talked about beavers and backdoors and all that good stuff. So if you haven't listened to that, you should hop onto YouTube and hear that one out. That's pretty good. So, and there's a video on there too. So you can watch her and I like going through it, and my face is probably so red in that video, just trying to get through it. But it was very good. So for me, I don't really have an issue talking about sex and, anything sensitive in that area with my podcast. I think that's why I'm on here. I just want to be real and honest with you guys and just tell it like it is. I just want to be straight up. So if I was on here and couldn't really say anything or afraid to talk about anything, nobody'd be listening, right? So thank you for listening. I'll keep talking. All right, question number five is from KDG in Dallas, Texas. Woo-woo! Shout out to Dallas. That's my hometown. That's where I moved from. Okay, have you noticed any recurring themes or patterns in the relationship issues that your groups or listeners bring up? Everybody, I think, kind of brings up the same things, which of course is the dating sites, which are really tough to be on. Outside of that, I think it's just finding men and women that are emotionally available and someone that is secure in themselves and that actually wants a relationship. I think that's been the hardest part, and something that keeps popping up is most people are content these days with just chatting on the phone, being a pen pal, just going out on a date here or there and not really looking for that commitment, or the relationship, the full-on relationship. So, and I don't think people are fully honest in their profiles on the dating sites either. So you don't really know what you're getting. I mean, they might say, yeah, that they want a committed relationship, but I think a lot of people are saying that because they think that's what you want to hear and it draws you in. And so then once you're there, they get freaked out and then they don't want to be in that or they never did. And so now you are like stuck in a weird situationship. It's just weird. It's gross, really. I don't know. I don't know what to do about it. Hopefully something will change soon. I don't know. Okay, so good question, Katie. Number six, what advice do you often find yourself giving to listeners who are struggling in their relationships? And this question came from Michelle P. in Orlando, Florida. The advice that I would give to listeners struggling in their relationships would be hang in there. Something's got to change. Something's going to turn, right? And I truly believe that. And I really honestly do believe, and it took me a long time to get to this place. I do feel like if you work on yourself and you find ways to keep yourself busy, you're constantly doing things for yourself, and you are loving yourself and you are working out and you are working on your body physically, you're working on your mind. Maybe you are doing journaling or you're doing meditation or whatever it is that gets you in a good, healthy spot in your head. I think that's super important. I think having friends, whether it's girlfriends, guy friends, whatever it may be, and events to go to, sports to pick up, try pickleball, try tennis, try volleyball, you know, dance lessons are out there, painting lessons. I did pole dancing lessons. I mean, there's so many different things that you can try and learn to keep yourself busy. And I think that's super important because then you're not just sitting around waiting for a guy to call. You're not waiting for, you know, someone to knock on your door to take you out. I mean, you are good in your own place and with yourself. And that attracts. It really does. I've learned that and it took me a long time. I no longer am chasing. I am attracting at this point. I do not chase men anymore. It is not serving me in any way. And I would rather just do my own thing and let them see who I am, what I resonate, that I am good by myself. I'm not saying I want to be by myself forever. I think there's a big difference between being okay by yourself and wanting to just be by yourself all the time. I'm okay being by myself. Do I want a companion, a person to share my life with, someone to watch scary movies with? Hell yeah, I do. So I think I'm going to find that. And I think it'll just come to me and I'm going to stop chasing it. And so that's kind of what I would say to you. That would be my advice to stop struggling in the relationships is just to let it happen. And you'll find it when you find it and stop worrying so much about it. It's hard to do. I know, because I'm impatient and I've been here. I've been on this ride with you guys for a while now. So, you know, I know. Okay. Question number 7. This is from a guy, Jared K in Long Beach, California. Jared wants to know, in my opinion, what are the key ingredients for a healthy and fulfilling relationship? Oh, I love this question. Because this has changed for me over the years. So the ingredients for me to make my love cake, if you will, has changed over the years. I used to really think it was all about, you know, and yes, this will appear shallow, but everything about the chemistry and, you know, the attractiveness. Is he cute? Is he tall? Is he dark hair? Does he have, you know, muscles? Is he, you know, a great smile, great teeth, great eyes, whatever it may be, that was really at the top of my list. Now you all know, because I know you've been listening to me, tall is still at the top of my list. And that is just who I am. I like a tall man. I'm a tall girl. I feel like a bohemian Amazon woman if I'm with a small guy, and I just don't like it. So that's my preference. But things that have changed for me, communication, I've learned, is so huge. If you don't have communication, it's like, I don't even know how you get by. I just didn't have communication in my last relationship. And it was such a struggle for me. I felt stifled all the time. I felt like I couldn't even speak. Like my feelings were never validated. And I couldn't just be honest about what I was feeling or what I wanted in the relationship. And I was constantly pulling back and, you know, making sure I didn't want to get him, you know, to think I was too much for him. I'm not going to be too much for my person. I'm just not. My person is going to be like, you are perfect the way you are. And this has taken me a long time to realize that. So that is super important. So communication, loyalty, and honesty, those are huge. Again, those were some rough things in my relationship. And that has just made it so difficult for me to trust going forward. And I hope to get past that. You know, I'm really trying to get past that at some point and start out with a clean slate for each person, because I feel people deserve that. They shouldn't have to, you know, deal with my past because I had baggage from that side. So, you know, I really try to be honest about that and not bring it into the new relationship and let it just kind of form itself. So that is really huge. And then safety and security. I love feeling secure. I love feeling protected. And I love feeling like someone is checking on me, someone's worried about me, someone truly cares about my well-being. And that's a super important attribute and thing I look for in a relationship now. So those are some things, in my opinion, that contributes to a fulfilling, healthy relationship. And of course, sex, healthy sex life is, of course, really great and contributes to a wonderful relationship. Okay, so I'm adding that in there. Okay, number eight. Let's see. This is also from a guy. Ooh, I love it. Brady S. in Tucson, Arizona. Okay, Brady wants to know, how do you think technology and social media are impacting modern relationships, both positively and negatively? Ugh, the dreaded social media question. You know, I unfortunately, I think there's a lot more negative to than there is to the positive. I think we all know a lot of it. You know, people put out there what they want you to see. And I think that, you know, it's such a deception for people to see somebody constantly in the best mood or having such a great time, or they're in love here and they're off on a trip here, and then they're getting these gifts here and they're at a party, and, you know, just constant things. And people don't want to post their negative stuff. And I get it, because you don't want to put it out there, number one. And number two, nobody wants to watch the negative stuff. Everybody likes to see the positive stuff. But it is such a false perception of who we really are. And I'm guilty of it just as much. I post a lot of, you know, fun pictures or pictures of myself. And it's really interesting for me to have learned that, you know, it's just a moment of, it's like an instant gratification. And it doesn't really feed me like I thought it would, or maybe like it used to. Maybe that's it. I'm growing and I'm learning. So it's not really affecting me in the way it used to. And, you know, you put your picture out there and you're just wanting somebody to like it. And for that moment, you're like, they liked my picture. They said you're beautiful. And then it's forgotten and it's done. And, you know, you're left going, okay, what now? And I think that's very much the same with somebody who always wants something more. They're always chasing the next big thing, whether it's the next girl, the next shiny object, the next car, the next boat, the bigger house, whatever it may be. You're constantly trying to get to this next step. And again, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with, you know, manifesting or dreaming and having dreams of where you want to be and what you want to own and your goals. I love all that. I think it's amazing to have an incredible house. I would love to have an incredible house, an amazing car, a job, you know, all of those amazing things and go on these great trips. I think all of that is awesome. But when it's no longer satisfying you in any way, it is just merely giving you that moment of gratification, and then you're over it. And then you're like, well, what next? It's never going to be enough. At that point, it's just never going to be enough. And you're going to be constantly chasing this dream and these goals that you can't even catch, because in your head, you're never going to really get there. You're just never going to actually catch those things, because it's never going to be enough. So until you figure out for yourself what it is that truly makes you happy, and I don't think it's anything materialistic. I don't think it's the fancy car. I don't think it's a fancy house. It's the people you surround yourself with. It's the church that you go to. It's the, you know, the time that you spend with your kids. It's the playing games with them. It's watching Bachelor with your kids and laughing with each other. Those moments are priceless. And so I just really think that social media has thrown all of this out of proportion, where everybody is seeing what everybody else is doing, what they've got, and they want what they've got. And it's just insane. And I would really challenge everybody to just get off of it for a little bit, like clear your mind of it. I need to do that myself. I should have done it at the beginning of this year. I think I did it at the beginning of last year, where I just took a break and you just get yourself out of it for a little bit. And I think that's really healthy and it puts you in a good spot. So try it. Okay, that is an actually great question, Brady. So thank you so much for asking that. Okay, question number nine. This is from Tracy L. in Sarasota, Florida. And she's asking, can you share any insights or lessons you've personally learned about relationships through hosting your podcast? Well, I think questions 1 through 8 pretty much just did that. But I have learned so much by doing this. Being able to talk to different people and getting different people's perspective has been huge for me. I've always been like that, where I really take what other people say, and sometimes a little bit too much. I take it, you know, and I kind of will switch over to that side and I'm like, yeah, they're right. And I start going on that train, and then somebody else could come along and I'm like, yeah, that person's right. And I'll go on that train. And so I've always kind of been like that. So I'm really trying to find my own voice and my own thoughts and my own feelings about all of this. And I take everything with a grain of salt. There are so many people out there that are talking about relationships, that are talking about love and telling you what to do, what not to do. You can't possibly follow all of it because some are like, yes, call him right away. If you haven't heard from him in 2 days, call him right away and follow up. And others are like, girl, lean out. Do not call that man. You are not chasing anybody. He will come back for you because guys like a bit of a chase too. So there's so many different lessons that I'm learning. I'm reading books. I have talked about the Case Kenny books that I've read. Single is Your Superpower, stuff like that, I think is great. I am doing a workbook right now ca called Calling in the One. And I think that is really a great book to work on as well. I just got it on Amazon and I'm not even getting plugged for this book. I'm just saying that it's really good because it makes you think about things. It makes you write a letter to, yourself after a date, talking to your future husband and what you really think that you want and what he can provide for you. It makes you reach out to that person that you maybe made a verbal contract with years ago and you said, hey, if you're not married by the time you're 70 and by the time I'm 70, then we're going to marry each other or whatever it may be, whatever age. And it says, why put that out there? Why put out that energy that you're going to be single at that point? Break it. Break the energy, whether you reach out to that person, you say that contract is now canceled, or you just write it out and you say you're canceling it and you tear it up, do it. So these are things that the book is kind of, talking about. And I love it because it's just fun little exercises and things to kind of get your mind in the right place. So I take all of those lessons. I take all of the stories we hear. I take people's, I listen to everybody's stories and anecdotes and experiences they go through. We've heard a lot of crazy stories. And I listen to all of them and I take them to heart. So trying to keep that going. Okay, question number 10 is from Daniel T in Austin, Texas. And he is asking, I love that we have another guy, by the way. That's great. Okay, he's asking, what future topics or guests are you excited to explore on your podcast related to relationships? So, you guys should know I have a lot of guests lined up, and I've really been working on this. I am actually booked into April with guests right now, from all different sorts. So, I have like a health coach coming on, I have a lady that talks about like the vibrations between people. I have, let's see, an intimacy whisperer. I'm laughing at some of these. I have an intimacy whisperer. I have someone that does like tantric massages. I have three amazing relationship coaches that are men, very established relationship coaches that are coming on. And I am super excited about all of those because just hearing it from a different perspective gets me super excited, and I love that. So I have all of these great guests coming on, you guys, and I'm super excited about that. So keep listening. I'm starting to put a few of them out there. I have interviews lined up weeks after weeks for the next couple months, and they just keep coming. So I'm totally grateful and thrilled that people want to be on my show and they want to talk to me about this, and most importantly, that they want to talk to you guys about this. So that makes me super happy. And if you guys have like ideas of guests that you would like me to reach out to, I can do that. I have I have them at my fingertips where I can reach out and find some great people to come on and answer some questions or really talk about the topics you want to hear. It can be about anything relationship-wise. So it doesn't have to be dating, it doesn't have to be sex, it doesn't have to be men and women. It can be, parents with children. It can be like how kids handle, life after divorce. It could be like finding yourself a relationship with yourself and what that looks like. So there's all kinds of topics that we can talk about here. It's such a broad spectrum, which is why I really opened it up to that. And I think we can get a lot of great guests. So please let me know what you guys want to hear about. And I'm happy to oblige for sure. Okay. Question 11. Oh, this is a little bit more personal about me. And this is from Angela B in Los Angeles. What is my favorite place or thing to do on a date? Oh, good question. So I heard this the other day, and I don't quite remember where I heard it, but this is what I heard. Coffee is cheap. Drinks are an addition. Lunch is an interview, and dinner is romance. So I thought that was pretty interesting because I feel like a lot of dates have now kind of turned into where they're more of like a coffee date, like a meet and greet kind of thing. And so people seem to be doing that a little bit more. And so you can just kind of see if you're interested in them. And people are even saying that more coffee is like your first interview, not really a date. So it's just an interview to see if you actually want to go out on a first date. So, but what I was just saying there is that, lunch is really more of a date. So You know, I'm not a huge fan of going to dinner right off the bat with a guy. I've done that. I think that sometimes you end up in a situation you don't really want to be in because it turns into way longer than maybe you want to be there. You don't know when to cut it off. Maybe you're not getting along right off the bat, and then you're kind of stuck for the rest of the date. And then they want to have another glass of wine, or they want dessert if they're liking you. And it just puts everybody in a bit of an awkward situation. So I would probably move dinner out a little bit, which is interesting because I feel like that's the way it used to be. You know, dinner was the date. So I'm kind of more, I do like to do drinks and appetizers, and I like to sit at the bar. I think it's very sexy and fun and flirty, and you just kind of sit there, you have a drink, you order a couple appetizers, and you just get to know each other. And you can start to tell by the chemistry between the two of you if you're getting along. You know, I think you tend to kind of turn towards each other, your knees kind of turn in, your feet maybe go on each other's stools a little bit. It just puts you in this good spot, and you can tell by your body language if you're really kind of into each other. So I think it's easier than sitting at a table across from each other where you can't really just enjoy, you know, feeling if there's a vibe. So I really do like that. Places to go, you know, I like a dive bar. I like any cute little bar with a bar. Actually, and I'm not even a big drinker, so I'm not saying it from that sense. I just like sitting at a bar. I think it's fun, and I have a glass of wine. I'm not like sitting there, you know, throwing down shots of tequila or something. Not gonna happen. Now, my friend Michelle that co-hosts with me, she's probably doing the shots of tequila. But yes, I think that's really fun. I do actually have a date coming up, and he wants to go on a hike. So I'm interested. That's a first date, and I don't know how that's gonna go. Makes me a little nervous if he's gonna push me off the hill or something. So I want to make sure, first of all, there's a lot of people around. And you know, and then I thought about it because it's like a hike and then lunch. Well, now am I all sweaty for lunch? And how am I dressing? I don't know. It's a little weird. I don't know then how he's going to be dressing. Like he's going on a hike and then we're supposed to go to lunch. So that's still up in the air. If I'm going to maybe go, oh, you know what? Let's just meet for lunch. I might do that. So that's kind of my thoughts on that. That leads right into the next question, which is question number 12 from Tanya T in Los Angeles. And she is asking about the outfits. So, what's best outfits to wear for a date? You know, I really enjoy kind of getting dressed up for a date. It just depends on where you're going. So, if we're just doing drinks and appetizers, and I'm also going to throw this little caveat in there, it depends on the height of the guy. Because I told you I'm 5'9". So, if I'm dating anyone 6 foot and below, that is so minuscule how the difference there. So, I'm not throwing on some 3 inch, 4 inch heels. And then he's going to be shorter than me. And I kind of like to gauge because, as I've said before, on the dating sites, a lot of guys round up. So when they say they're 5'10", they might even be 5'9". And so I take that into consideration. So anything under 6 foot, they're probably rounding up. After 6 feet, they really don't as much because it doesn't really matter. So in that little area, I might just wear some Converse tennis shoes or some, you know, Adidas Stan Smiths or something that are really cute, but just like flat, so I can kind of gauge the height difference there. And then if there's another date, then I kind of know where I'm going to go with that. I usually wear, well, if it's in the summer and it's pretty hot, I might wear like a little cute t-shirt type dress. I have a couple of those that are fun and cute, or I might just do jeans and a cute top. So it just depends on where we're going. If it's somewhere fancier, then yeah, I'll dress up a little bit. I kind of thought about doing a little, you know, thing on my page with some date outfits when I get dressed to go out. So maybe I'll try that and see what you guys think about that. So let me know your thoughts on that if you want to see that. Okay, question number 13. This is from Veronica M, Los Angeles. Ooh, this is a good one. People want to know what happened to Katie LeBlanc. Oh, she is still around, you guys. You know, honestly, we just had different visions of where we wanted to go with the podcast and what we wanted to do. And she just kind of, you know, is doing her own thing and I'm doing my own thing. There's no hard feelings. There, you know, we're still friends and we're kind of doing our own things. And I loved having her. It was a great, I don't know how many episodes we did. They were great and it was fun. And you know, you guys enjoyed listening to her too. She's lovely and we had a really good time. So you know, just things change and we are just going different directions with it. So that's all I got to say about that. She's great. Okay, so question number 14. This is the last question that I have. This is from Tara G in Santa Barbara. How do you make money on podcasts? I don't know. Can somebody please tell me how should I make money on my podcast? It's difficult. I'll be honest. It's not as easy as you would think. I would think we have 100 and some odd thousand downloads on this podcast, thanks to you guys and the listeners, which is amazing. And I'm so grateful. And I've been able to, be in the top 10 podcasts for some people, top 1% of the podcast for some people. I'm in the top 10% on Buzzsprout with my relationship podcast. And I am so grateful to every single one of you that listens to me every week and downloads and just follows. I mean, follows are huge and listeners are huge. So if you guys are listening to me, please make sure that you just go on and follow the podcast. It's so important to help us grow. And I'm out here every week putting in my hard work for you guys and bringing in guests and taking my time to do this. And so if you're appreciating it and you're enjoying it, please, please follow. So to make money, it's basically sponsors. That's about it. You don't make money off of your downloads. You don't make money off of, every time, somebody listens to the podcast. It's about getting sponsors. So that's why followers and listeners are so important for podcasts, because that helps you to get sponsors to come on your show. If you guys are listening and you haven't followed From Mrs. to Ms., you could do it on any major streaming platform. And I would so appreciate if you would go and follow. I have also started a new YouTube channel for From Mrs. to Ms. And again, it is youtube.com/@FromMrs.to.Ms. And you can find me on there. Please subscribe. Again, it's the only way for me to kind of make a living doing this. And so I love doing it for you guys, but would I like to make a little money? Yes, I would. So if you guys can subscribe to the podcast on YouTube, that would be amazing. I have also put up videos to all of these episodes on there. So please make note of that. If there's, we don't have the videos other than I think the first six episodes with Katie and I were out there to start with. And then her and I just did audio for a while. But then when I went on my own, I started bringing back video, and I have tons of videos with my guests. So all those videos are on YouTube. So go check it out and watch it on there and let me know what you think. So every week I'm going to put up the video for it, including this one. So, anyways, those are all the questions that I have for this week. And so I just wanted to come on and share that with you guys. I think those are really great questions of things you were wondering about. If there's more things you want to know about, I'm happy to get down and dirty and talk about anything, pretty much anything with you. I can also bring on my great co-host. She's my guest co-host, Michelle, that likes to come on with me sometimes too. And she has such great insight. So again, reach out to me, you guys, info@FromMrs.to.Ms.net. You can find me on Instagram and on TikTok at From Mrs. to Ms. And as I said, I have a new YouTube channel out, which is also at From Mrs. to Ms. So please feel free to find me any which way you want. Ask me questions, tell me topics, suggestions of guests you'd like to see. What do you guys want? I am here and at your mercy. So let me know. All right, you guys, that's it for this week. I appreciate you listening to me as always, and I hope you guys have a wonderful week, and I'll see you next week. Bye.